This is the podcast of Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta. Thanks for listening. If you have a moment, would you rate us or review us on whatever system you're using to listen? We would love to reach more listeners, and ratings and reviews help spread the word. Thanks.
The first show I saw was The Cramps at the Hall of Nations at Georgetown University in 1979. It was February 79 or May, late January. A transformative moment, walking in and seeing a room filled with people, virtually everyone there challenging some conventional idea about how to live, whether it was a musical one, obviously, a fashion one, obviously, but also political and sexual. I think that they were challenging everything they could think of in that room. And I thought, I am home, because this is where the counterculture exists, and this is where I want to be.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the counterculture research library rock and roll radio show. At least that's what I hope it is. I am Charlie. My co-host is Amit.
Hey, everyone.
And we both work at the Georgia Tech Library. Victor is on the board. Wendy is in the studio. And for the next hour, we've got music and library talk for you. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called The Liberated Archive, or in the words of one of our guests, the archive as a moment beyond what is traditionally defined as the archive.
I will be talking about Liberated Archive, a forum for envisioning and implementing a community-based approach to archives. That is a day-long event taking place at the Society of American Archivists annual meeting in Portland in July.
Here at Lost in the Stacks, we've long been admirers of community archives, citizen archivists, and the stories we all carry within us. Plus, my theory is that Fred and Amit and Charlie all secretly want to be archivists.
Amit, did you hear something?
We'll talk about that later. So we were very excited to talk with Itza Carbajal. She's a member of the Liberated Archive Forum Planning Committee for today's show.
I also had the very good fortune to interview another representative from the committee for this show, Natalie Bauer, who said so many inspiring things that my Skype recording plugin and I tragically failed to capture. Natalie, thank you. And we look forward to talking with you again after the forum this summer without technical difficulties.
Trust no technology. Question all apps.
That's a kind of weird Timothy Leary reframing, but I like it. If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS336 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 336. And feel free to tweet your thoughts, reactions, or peer-to-peer archives advice with that hashtag.
And our songs today are about liberation, making connections, and getting radical. Oh, those troublemaking archivists, here they come.
Woo-hoo.
And in honor of those archivists that steer things up, we're starting with a troublemaking song from America's Rich Music Archive. Plus, Wendy approves when we play stuff that's over 75 years old. So this is Stir It Now by Sam Chatman, right here on Lost in the Stacks.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and joining us by phone is Itza Carbajal, representative of the planning team for the Liberated Archive Forum that will take place at the Society of American Archivists annual meeting in July. Itza is currently pursuing a Master of Science in Information Studies with a focus on archival management and digital records at the University of Texas at Austin School of Information, and works at the Nettie Lee Benson Latin American Special Collection. Welcome to the show, Itza.
Hi. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you for having me.
So to start, what, in your words, is the Liberated Archive Forum, and how did you get involved in the planning of it?
So the Liberated Archive Forum, I was first exposed to it in conversations with Jared Drake. He had mentioned to me that there were conversations about, you know, this non-conventional forum meeting, gathering, however you would want to interpret it. And if I wanted to, you know, get involved. You know, I am a student right now. I'm trying to find ways in order to get involved with the professional field. And I said that this would be a great opportunity to see kind of how does the national organization hold conversations and what are some planning components of it. And as I learned, the Liberate Archive is something unlike any other sort of gathering. Even itself is set aside as a mixture of an unconference, right? So something that's not so formally structured, but also it's set as a very welcoming and gathering moment for people to come and talk about, particularly archivists, our archival communities, as well as the people that we serve, to talk about issues that affect us.
So this is a conference that's kind of it's related to the main national conference for archivists, which is the Society for American Archivists conference. Is the conversation that goes on at the Liberated Archive Forum, is that integral to what the Society of American Archivists like goes for in as far as like their mission, or is this like kind of an something that's being brought into the greater archival community?
So it's definitely an extension of the mission of Society of American Archivists. In and of itself, it's been designated as a day as part of the larger conference, but the structure itself is unlike the more the previous SAA conferences. And the intentions with that is to try and create an environment that allows for different sorts of conversations that sometimes maybe other conference styles haven't been exactly conducive to, or that they're just maybe like awkward even in the layout of like seating or like how people feel that they can propose topics. So it's definitely our, as an archival community, our attempt to broaden our conversations and to also imagine different ways of having those conversations.
So you've talked a little bit about the structure of the forum, sort of this mix of, you said, unconference and sort of a welcoming gathering. Are there other gatherings, events, or projects that have inspired the planning and structuring of the forum in particular, either models you've sought to emulate or models that you've tried to sort of steer away from?
So as a planning committee member who came a little bit after the formalization of this, I understand it as that there's many things that have inspired us, whether they've been more informal gatherings, you know, in the lawn of another SAA conference, or panels and lectures that have brought up certain issues and maybe the time ran out in order to even continue those conversations. But I do believe that my other planning committee members who have been there from the very beginning, even before the conference took a name and a shape, they have a much wider knowledge of how exactly it started to solidify and form itself. I myself have, you know, various experiences with different sorts of conferences and gatherings. I did try and bring in my lived experiences into helping shape that. But there were conversations that existed prior to me that also heavily shaped what the conference looks like today, or the Liberated Archive Forum looks like today.
Can you talk a little bit about your thinking and the committee's thinking about the name? What does it mean to have a liberated archive, or to be a liberated archive, or to liberate archives?
Yeah, so the Liberated Archive, right, is our shorter name, the full name being the Liberated Archive, a forum for envisioning and implementing a community-based approach to archives. So liberated to us can take on many meanings, but as a planning committee, we've really tried to emphasize this idea of centering our community, or really highlighting the needs of our communities, whether they be the patrons that come directly into our space, to the patrons that maybe interact with our collections through a computer screen. We've really tried to allow the archive as a place and as a moment to exist beyond what is commonly understood as being the archive, and to also the forum to serve as a place for those communities, those patrons, to come and to engage with us as well, and to really talk to us about their own experiences of the archive alongside the experiences of an actual archivist who's kind of like in the space and not just outside of it or not just seeing it from the outside.
Great. And I think we are going to talk a little bit more about how the Liberated Archive Forum goes beyond the traditional existing archive structure in future segments today. We are speaking with Itza Carbajal, representative of the planning team for the Liberated Archive Forum, and we will be back with more after a music set.
File this set under QD471.N84.
Kill to Kill with Radical Flyer. Before that, Skin Patrol with Radical. Songs about going beyond tradition and getting radical.
We're talking today with Itza Carbajal on today's Lost in the Stacks about the Liberated Archive Forum that will take place at the Society of American Archivists annual meeting in July. So I was looking at the call for proposals for the forum, and two topics listed stood out to me in particular. One was existing community archives as models, and another was individual stories as community archives, and they were listed, you know, together in a list, in sequence. And I was wondering, for you, with your experiences working in the community, working in archives, how would you say that your work and your practice as an archivist and, you know, as a student has been shaped by existing community models? And how might your own individual story represent a community archive?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, the reason I did come back to school to pursue a graduate degree was because I had been exposed to a community archival model. While I wasn't using those terms, I worked for an organization in San Antonio called the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center that has been in existence this year officially for 30 years. And they've amassed an impressive, if not overwhelming, collection of everything, right? So basically, they've documented their existence in San Antonio from the very beginning. And when I worked there, it somehow became kind of like my responsibility or my desire to shape that collection in hopes that one day we being the staff or the community could utilize that in the work that we did. And so that's always been the foundation of how I approach archival science and practice, always centering that idea that there are communities that are doing the work that I'm doing while I have the privilege of being able to go to an educational system that can empower me with skills and knowledge and tools to then go back to the community and work alongside them to do the work that they have been doing. That's always been a core to how I see my work. And also, I mean, individual stories, my own personal background, because I'm a daughter of immigrants. I was born and raised in New Orleans. I was displaced to Texas after Hurricane Katrina. So I've say that my stories, as well as the stories of my family and my community, have shaped how I view the world and how I view myself, but also how I see and sense that my stories aren't always visible, and that oftentimes have been erased or have been changed. Say, like in New Orleans, my paternal side of the family goes New Orleans far as relationships about 3 decades. But if you were to look at the history books of New Orleans, it would be a margin to speak about Central American presence in New Orleans, much less this whole Latino presence in New Orleans, where it's often termed in very larger communities. New Orleans does have a very rich cultural heritage and history. And so that in and of itself also helped me really identify with other community archives or other individual stories that kind of live the same experiences that my stories have lived.
So I want to tie that into to one of the themes that we've been exploring lately on Lost in the Stacks, which is this idea of institutional interrogation, by which I mean like asking questions of our institutions, organizations, and status quo ways of thinking. So I wonder what your thoughts are on how might the Liberated Archive Forum be an exercise in institutional interrogation?
I think with the Liberated Forum, it feels like the space is so welcoming to having all of these conversations and also asking the archival community to really reflect on the things that we do on the daily, right? Like we oftentimes find ourselves literally in the stack trying to just catch up with our work, so we don't get the time to then reflect on our work, reflect on where we see our work going. But these are moments, right, where the conference can be an opportunity to learn more, but it can also be an opportunity to just sit and think about the things that we do, because oftentimes we don't get that luxury of just sitting and or writing. Like I hope that when I go to Liberated Forum in Portland, like I will see people just creating and imagining, whether that's like writing pieces or maybe interviewing each other or just even like talking about some of the things that they do on their daily work.
Do you think the forum may shape the way future SAA and other professional conferences are structured and sort of the underlying goals of the conferences? Do you think in a way this is sort of an experiment to see how we might evolve in terms of our annual gatherings?
I hope so, and I believe so. Coming into this process, I've been very happy to see that there is a lot of support, both from the SAA, more formal national organization, as well as the archival communities across the country. I definitely think that the Liberated Archive Forum is a moment to try out things and hopefully try them out without this idea that if it doesn't work, then it will never work, but to understand that maybe it didn't work and why did it not work. When we have our discussions as far as even the if you look at the call for proposals and when we try and encourage people to submit proposals to this, we have certain ideas of what we think would be important to talk about, but we know that maybe it's not the time, and we want the community to be invested in this conversation and to just, you know, push us the same way that we push them to grow together.
So, we're almost out of time, but before we let you go, if folks are interested in, there's still a few days, I think, to submit a proposal or just to find out more about attending the forum, what do you think, where should they go to find out more if they're interested?
Yeah, so the easiest way to find out more about the conference as well as the specific call for proposals for the Liberated Archive Forum is to go to the Society of American Archivists website, which is www.archivist.org, then /AM2017, which might be a little bit difficult to remember, but I think if you just Google Society of American Archivists, you'll be able to then, you know, maybe clumsily find the place, but you'll find it. And then there's going to be more information, and the deadline for the proposal is March 17th, but, you know, people are more than welcome to get engaged however they would like, or to just know what's going on.
We've been speaking today with Itza Carbajal. She is at the Nettie Lee Benson Latin American Special Collection at UT Austin, and she's also on the planning team for the Liberated Archive Forum, which we've been talking about today. Thanks so much for joining us, Itza.
Thank you, everyone.
Hi, I'm Mandy, the accordion-playing data librarian, and you are listening to Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta.
Today's show is called The Liberated Archive. In the words of SAA Annual Meeting Program Chair Terry Baxter, The Liberated Archive asks, Okay, Wendy, will you be the voice of the archive for its question? That seems appropriate for Lost in the Stacks.
What does the archive sound like? Okay. If the archive is a site of social control, how might archivists partner with the public, especially at this critical junction for the profession, to repurpose the archive as a site of social transformation and radical inclusion?
Terry Baxter, after letting the archive ask his question, says, at its core, the forum is intended to bring together archivists and members of various Portland communities to identify ways in which archivists can support these communities in their pursuit of justice, self-awareness, and freedom. If we believe that archives have power, and more precisely, the power to effect positive change, then it is our responsibility as archivists to assist others in using them as widely as possible.
Baxter continues, how will archivists benefit from this exchange? The future of diversity and inclusion in archives is not an exercise in collection, description, and access. It is rooted in communities that want to hold power accountable, connect their members with each other, perpetuate language and religion, preserve locations and bioresources, and tell their stories through time.
Archivists can participate in this future, or they can sit on the sideline and watch their relevance diminish. The Liberated Archive will expose archivists not only to the mechanics of working with communities, but also the sense of commitment and joy that comes with deeply connected work. That's from Terry Baxter, SAA Annual Meeting Program Chair. So, while we consider the talking archive and whether we should be scared of it, let's file this set under PS648.S3L53.
Bye. I was born in the country. You thought I was easy to rule. I was born in the country. You thought I was easy to rule. Times are changing, babe. This country gal ain't anybody's fool. Your mean, tight papa make a long time woman hurt down deep. Your mean, tight papa make a long time woman hurt down deep. Gonna find me a candy man that'll rock this baby down to sleep. I gave sugar for sugar, now I give salt for salt. I gave sugar for sugar, now I give salt for salt. You don't like it, baby, and I guess it's your own goddamn fault. I'm leaving you, baby. I've gotta be moving on. I'm leaving you, baby. I've gotta You don't believe it, babe. You just up and count the days I'm gone. You walk by my doorway. You walk right by my gate. You walk by my doorway. You walk. Walk by my window, babe. You won't get by my 38. I was born in the country. You thought I was easy to rule. I was born in the country. Thought I changing, babe, this country gal ain't anybody's fool.
That was Born in the Country by Judy Roderick. I hope you all listened carefully to what she had to say. Before that, Blazing the Trail by Patsy Montana and the Prairie Ramblers. Another name that's a state, Amit. Songs about liberation and empowerment. You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and our show today is called The Liberated Archive. So most of us work in a library here, right? Victor, you work in a library, right?
Sure.
Yeah. We all work in a library, but we're also just people. We're part of the human record, and we carry stories, some of which we document and some of which we don't. Wendy, can you help us maybe frame the question, how is your individual story a community archive? What does that mean to you?
Sure. I mean, I can try. Well, so this is one of the prompts that's included in the call for proposals for the Liberated Archive Forum. And it just stood out to me as a really interesting idea that one person's story might contain within it a whole community's archive, and the power of storytelling and the things that we tell and the things that we don't. So that's sort of what it means to me. And I was curious how you all would answer that if you were to imagine contained within yourselves a community's archive.
Yeah. I feel confronted by that question as a suburban white American male, right? My individual story appears to be the privileged one, the one that has been told over and over again. I mean, just grab any novel of the 20th century, you know, someone tweeted a long time ago and it's never left my head. They're like, white middle-class novelist. Oh, the ennui. Perhaps I will cheat on my wife. You know, like that's the entirety of the, you know, Cheever and Updike and all that. And so the idea of trying to talk about my individual story as a community archive, it's almost like, yeah, it's handled. You know, I just exist in this box.
I think of Whitman, Song of Myself. Isn't there a line, I contain multitudes?
That's right.
So,
And that's his excuse to be contradictory and to hold several thoughts that are not completely complementary. It's like, well, then I contradict myself. I contain multitudes.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, your point is well taken, Charlie, but you contain multitudes that are worth
archiving. You're so sweet to
archiving.
Me. I'm gonna push you a little bit, Amit. I feel like you are a prime example of this question. Your individual story contained in a community archive, because you are, I hope I got all your details of your history right, you're a first-generation American.
Yeah, and I can tell you, growing up in East Tennessee, there were not very many.
That's one of the two top Tennessees.
Yeah. There weren't very many Indian American indie rockers in East Tennessee. And so I did, and it was also before blogs, and I feel like, you know, a lot of people capture that experience using Twitter and using blogs and using zines.
Yeah.
Shout out to Murmur. I had a chance to go buy Hodgepodge Coffee here in Atlanta, if you happen to be in Atlanta. And that's where you see a lot of really interesting personal histories turning into community archives at a small scale.
I think of the third episode, I think it is, of Master of None. I don't know if you watched that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the third episode is a very explicit exploration of the first generation American experience between the conversations between two characters, one Indian American, one Chinese American. I think that's right. And they talk about their fathers, their relationships to their parents. And it is, in a way, a distillation of experience, right? And it's almost like you can say, okay, Master of None, the Netflix show, has an episode which draws on the community archive of individual stories to condense it into entertainment. Behind that show, behind stories that people tell about their individual parents and then relate to other parents or their individual upbringing, relate to other upbringing, it's the gathering of all the stories, of all the things that are sort of similar or are explicitly contradictory, so that you can then say, oh, well, that's not my experience, and here's how we can reflect what is universal and true, you know, within our differences, you know. Victor, I'm going to toss it to you now, because I feel like maybe this is where you can drop in.
No, I mean, I completely agree with that as well, from a first generation perspective. Like, the community archive, in a sense, as I see it, you know, kind of brings about this source where everyone can have a point of contact. It's not just where I can tell my story individually. That's kind of a, you know, a fluid narrative that is based on my memory and my emotionally charged experiences and nostalgia and what have you. Whereas, you know, in order to, I guess, have a meaningful interactions in the community and with people around me, you know, it's important to have that common point where we can all draw from and say, so this is the truth, this is the reality, you know, this is where I came from. And I guess sort of combine perspectives rather than just have one, probably rather flawed, or maybe not necessarily flawed, but a different perspective. There's, you know, closer to the truth.
Yeah. What's the community you're thinking of when you say, community, when you say yours, right. What's yours?
Just essentially everything I've ever been a part of. that's what I think of.
That's nice dodge of the question. I appreciate that.
You're right. Yeah, it's a very wishy-washy answer. But I guess definitely where I'm from and where I am now are the two things I think of. So where I spent the majority of my life, which was Miami, Florida, and where I feel very connected to now, which is Atlanta.
Nice. We're almost out of time. I think all of us should get a chance to say something kind of like that. I'll follow Victor with realizing that however monolithic the stereotypes about my history are, I am also a Virginian, born of an Arlington boy and an Alexandria girl. Wendy?
I think what came to mind when I was thinking about this question, and sort of the second part of it, which is like how you would tell your story yourself. The first thing I felt was afraid, I think, because it's hard to do. And I think I'm someone who's always shied away from telling myself my own story, or feeling confident to tell other people my story. I think Victor hit on why. It's because it feels so fluid, and so putting it into words, or perhaps not having some feeling like I had some source to belong to necessarily. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to going to the forum, because I think I could work through some of that fear about telling my own story, as well as, which I think will make me better at telling other people's stories and preserving them.
I think we got to end on that one. You are listening to Lost in the Stacks. Although, Amit, did you have something ready to go? Did you have something locked and loaded to say?
Well, my oblique strategy is time to decrease, so no.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we've been talking about the Liberated Archive. It's time to free our minds and let the rest follow with some music. Hey, Archive, get on the mic.
This show is just full of so many technical difficulties for me. Okay. That was Picture My Face by Teenage Head.
That can't be right. Are you sure you're reading the right script?
Okay, yes, I'm reading the right script. Thank goodness. Okay, and before that, it was Look at Me, I'm You. That's crazy. By the Blossom Toads. Those are songs about making connections with the people around us.
Charlie, what is going on at the library next week?
Well, my oblique strategy was decorate.
Ooh.
We will consider individual stories as community archives and intergenerational glue. Stories of neighborhoods, non-citizens, and transient people, of sexuality, gender, and love. Stories of surveillance, data security, and the right to forget. Stories of justice. Stories of my past, your past, everybody's past. The telling of your story, yourself. We are the Georgia Tech Library, and we are, as ever, at your service.
Wow. Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Amit Doshi, Charlie Bennett, Wendy Eggmeyer, and Fred Rasko.
Victor was our engineer today, and our show was brought to you by everyone who has ever transformed how the human record is documented.
Legal counsel and time and space for practitioners to reflect were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Itza for being on the show, and to the whole Liberated Archive Forum planning team. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, it's the thing Amit loves as much as he hates the internet.
Bibliometrics.
I don't even know what that is.
Yay-hoo, yay-hoo. It's time for our last song. And let's dip back into the archives of America's music culture to close the show with a nod to how those troublemaking archivists are moving in a progressive direction, even in an uncertain political climate.
So diplomatic.
They are making sure that everyone in our communities, even those on the margins, are getting their stories preserved. Keep it up, archivists.
That's not a call to action. That's just a exclamation of joy.
From 1935, this is Don't Let Nobody Turn You Around by Blind Willie McTell, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Don't let nobody turn you around. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't you let nobody gallery.
Thanks for listening to Lost in the Stacks from WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Find us online at wrek.org/lostinthestacks to see playlists for old shows, connect with our social media, or get in touch with us.